Welcome to Innovation Insights, the podcast where we explore innovation in all aspects of life. I am your host, Dr. Yolanda Sanders. Let's extend a warm welcome to Chris Cyril. Chris's journey is nothing short of remarkable. Chris is a graduate student at Florida State University, pursuing a Master's of Science in Textiles and Apparel Entrepreneurship. Currently, as a graduate research assistant in the Jim Warren College of Entrepreneurship at Florida State, Chris is not just pursuing education, he is living his passion every day. His dedication to blending data analysis and fashion design is groundbreaking. Chris also holds a bachelor's degree in information technology, also from Florida State. His academic prowess is further highlighted by a certification in business analytics from Harvard Business School, which he obtained in August 2023. In 2022, Chris graced the stage with his inspiring TEDx talk entitled Stitching Hope into Our Everyday Lives. In this talk, he explored the profound impact of style on our thinking and well-being. His insights prove that style is more than just aesthetics. It's a vehicle for transformation and hope. Chris, it's an honor to have you with us today and to share your journey and insights. So thank you for being here and joining us.
Yeah, Dr. Sanders, thanks for having me. I'm so excited. Thank you for that intro. I don't know who you're talking about for a bit, but I guess it was me. So
that was you.
I appreciate that. Sounded awesome.
Oh, well, you know, the way that we got connected is you reached out to me, and I'm so thankful that you did. Mm-hmm. And found me on LinkedIn, and then I read about your accomplishments, and I was like, oh my goodness, he would be a fabulous guest.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, then we have an acquaintance in common, and he worked with Dr. Lion Nong, who I know from my time at Iowa State.
So. You're actually very popular here in the Jim Rand College. Yeah, you're a popular, so I'm super excited to be here. Well,
he has some great people there. I know a lot of faculties. So you have a great group, so awesome. Make sure you tell them hi for me too.
They'll see this. And I will, for sure.
Okay, so tell us about your experience as a first generation college graduate and how this journey has shaped your fashion and data analysis career, which is great.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's really interesting. So being first generation, both my parents immigrated here to America from Haiti. And so growing up, they always just told me, be an opportunist, right? The country has a lot to offer. They worked very hard. My mom, she worked as a seamstress. My dad worked in a Publix bakery for as long as I could remember. And they worked really hard just to get my sisters and I through school. And when it came time for me to go into college, really couldn't decide what I wanted to do. My older sister, she's actually graduated with a degree. So when I got to college and just testing out different majors, she finally said to me, hey, check out this thing called data science. If you go into the IT major, I think you might be interested in it. And yeah, I got into the IT major and it was awesome. Had a great time there. I use my platform really to help other Christians understand that there's many different ways to make it out of the circumstances we come from. Like a lot of times we don't speak even English at the home. And, you know, coming to Florida State from South Florida, 8-hour drive, being a long ways from home, definitely was a culture shock. A lot of different groups of people, the weather, school and whatnot. So yeah, it was really cool stuff. And I think my experience, as a Christian student, this really gave me the grit grind to make it through. Even through a lot of the adversity that I faced in undergrad, I knew that I had a dream and my parents were counting on me and I didn't want to let them down. I didn't want to let my family down. And here we are today, right? With my IT degree, with what I saw my mom doing as a seamstress growing up, I kind of just found a way to make it make sense together. So really cool.
Well, and let's explore this a little bit more, your background. I know in your TED Talk, you talked about your mother and her work as a seamstress. Right. And now you're combining fashion design and the fashion merchandising field and entrepreneurship with data analysis.
Correct.
And what inspired you to do that?
So in my time, well, after I graduated from undergrad, I moved to Tampa and I started a menswear styling business. And I recognized that a lot of my clients were coming to me, were wanted to know what are the latest trends or what are other people saying about these clothing items, whatnot. Everyone wants to be the hottest person, right? When they come to your stylist, like make sure I'm the freshest guy in the room. And so to fast track all of that analysis, I was manually doing it, like just going through Reddit, going through Instagram, going whatever social media platform may be, reading through the comments myself. And so I figured, why don't I just try to build something that'll return to me the sentiment around a certain topic. And that'll help me better create a narrative for my clients and get them confident in what they were wearing or whatever I was putting them in and whatnot. And yeah, it was really neat. And yeah, I was kind of just really excited to do that. It was the first time I really had like a eureka moment. Oh, wow. Did I really just mix my love for fashion and whatnot with my educational background in IT data science, data analytics. And once it started to make sense, I figured, yeah, let me continue building something here. And thus, I'm now at Jim Moran College of Entrepreneurship, working on making that into fruition, and working with all the resources that this program, wonderful program, has to offer.
Excellent. You are an innovator. And so you're in the right field and bringing in data science into styling. That is fabulous.
Right. For sure. I think the clothing brands do a lot more with reaching to their customers, their target consumer, hearing them out, and really tailoring their marketing and narrative towards the emotions they want to evoke from their customers, get more brand loyalty. Better even supply chain, what's selling, what's not selling so much, and may further their ESG efforts.
That was great. I love that you're thinking about the supply chain and ESG.
For sure.
Because those are two areas that companies always struggle with, and then that would impact a stylist.
Yeah, for sure. Even bigger than that, me being just from Haiti, or my parents being from Haiti, I know growing up, there's plenty of times we'd send clothes to Haiti. And growing up, I didn't know any better. I thought, okay, we're just giving clothes to people who are, less fortunate than we are, which I was extremely happy to help. But then just learning more about the supply chain. So a lot of the time, those clothes just sit there. They don't decompose. They have to get burned. Messes up the environment and the air that my people breathe. And I want to help with that area a lot.
I think it's something that a lot of people don't realize is happening around the world.
For sure.
So as we think about style, how does style impact people and our well-being and thinking?
Yeah, for sure. I'll start with a personal story, right? As I was graduating from high school, my younger sister fell ill with leukemia. Fortunately, she passed away right as I was going into my undergrad. As you can imagine, real challenging, right? So throughout freshman and sophomore year, it was just real challenging for me to heal through that. I never got a chance to really heal through that. And as you can imagine, I'd wake up every morning and kind of just not wanting to be seen. Right. I felt like if I put on something bright, if I put on something, I guess, fresh to say that there'll be all eyes on me and they'll see what I'm really going through, that I'm not happy, not my best self at the moment or whatnot. And honestly, I was thinking backwards. I was thinking about it all the wrong ways. Once I did start updating my wardrobe and putting on nice things, I started to exude that emotions of just joy and happiness and like, yes, I've been through something, but I'm still here kind of thing. And so there's actually a research that was done. I speak about it in the TED Talk by Dr. Hajo Adam and Adam Galinsky. They exhibited the phenomenon of enclosed cognition, where clothing can quite literally change someone's mood and how they perceive themselves based on basically the stories or the emotions they tie to clothing. They specifically did it with lab coats. They had three groups. The first group, they told them, hey, this is a doctor's coat. Second group, they told them this is a painter's coat. The third group, they just had them look at the coat, not put it on or anything. And then when the first two groups put on the coats, those who put on what they thought was a doctor's coat did better with cognitive, abstract theories and whatnot. But those who had on the painter's coat were a lot more creative and whatnot. Quite literally, what you wear can change how you feel about yourself and what you think about the world, how you interact with people, your emotions, your mood and whatnot. I think the bigger word here is confidence, right? If you really believe what you have on is almost like a super suit, then you'll be amazed by what you can accomplish, where your mind will take you, where you let your imagination go.
Absolutely. There's much of power in appearance impacting how you feel about yourself and what you communicate to others.
Right, for sure. And I don't think many people will take that into account, right? And, hey, I'm just going to put on the shirt. I'm going to walk out the house. But even in that slight decision, you're deciding this is the person I want to be when I walk out of this establishment, my house, apartment, whatever the case might be.
So how do you use your platform and your expertise to share your knowledge with the next generation of students? Because you have such unique knowledge and experiences.
That's a good question. I think what I tried to do first was, I think kids these days don't really listen unless you come with some credibility behind you. So what I tried to do, I hustled early. I think, all right, let's grow my styling business. I did a few fashion shows, put that on Instagram, whatever, right? Let that go, mini viral or whatever the case might be. And now I can be like, okay, look, here's what I've done, but here's what I had to go through to get there, kind of thing. I like to believe I'm just a normal guy. I can do it. Anybody else can really do it. But yeah, so using my platform to really just say, whatever you dream, you can really go for it. I'm just a kid from Pompano Beach, Florida, who had an extraordinary will to be great. And I'm still on that journey. But along the way, I've received some accolades. And that's what comes with the grind and staying true to my purpose and whatnot. And I want the next generation to know that, especially those from underserved communities, those from, again, first generation households, where their parents are doing the best they can to get them through school and hopefully get them into college or maybe start their own businesses that become really successful. Just that they can do it. They don't always have to be an artist, don't always have to be an entertainer. Find something that you love, become an expert at it, really study it, put the work in, and really the world is yours. My first time ever to Disney World was, last year, 2 years ago? And I stayed at the end for the fireworks, and it was really emotional, but you just wish upon a star, right? If you just wish upon a star, you can do whatever you want. You can really be out here, live the life that you think you want to live and whatnot. And so I think that's how I am using my platform these days, just to spread the good word and letting everyone know, or letting the next generation know that they can do it. They can do it. I know it's these days, the societal effects of, on social medias and listening from multiple different sides. The news is everywhere. They're getting bombarded with information. Up amongst that, right? Eat the meat, throw out the bones. Take what you need. Throw away what's not serving you. And, stay the course for sure. Stay curious and stay, practice ingenuity. And yeah, you can do it.
I like that. I do have to say that you're a little too young to be saying these kids these days.
Yeah.
Way way too young to say.
Yeah, that's real. That's real. You know, that's real. I can't even argue it.
But you truly, seriously, you are an inspiration and a great example to your peers and to the students that you interact with on campus and other places too. So keep up work.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And I don't take that for granted at all. You know, I know the position that I have or sometimes assumed. I know that my reputation and my resume precedes me. And so I just want to make sure I always come through for those that are looking at me as an inspiration, letting them know I have hard days too. Though I have these accomplishments along the way, not every day has been easy. I even had to go through the mud just to get here, you know, and still I'm working through it every day and I'm getting better. That's definitely the message.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Yeah. Got to be authentic with it.
For sure.
Yeah. So your family, you mentioned your sister passing, and I'm so sorry about that.
Thank you.
And as we've talked previously, talked about your family's role in your journey.
For sure.
Would you expand a bit more about that?
Yeah. My family's just super supportive, right? My two older sisters, they dealt with me, you know, throughout the journey. Of course, they've known me all of my life. So, and stay with my parents, man. My parents are real down to earth. So being first generation, they really know I wanted to get into fashion. They're like, wait, what's that? You have this good tech job. What are you thinking about? But once they started to see just the things I was doing in the space, the TED Talk, of course, fashion shows in the Tampa area, they started to understand, like, okay, you know, Chris has some traction here. He's making things happen. There's a lot of eyes on this and it could be fruitful. And so, yeah, extremely grateful for my village and especially my parents, my sisters, my brother-in-laws, my nieces, you know, those are people that keep me going. So it's been a super neat journey with my sisters, especially like just understanding anything about life, really. I can always go to them and ask any questions. Again, they know me at the deepest level. So anything I might have reservations about, I can always go to them and they help break it down for me from their point of views and from their experience. We all went through the passing of my sister together, right? Even though we all had our own, experiences with it, when we all sat down and finally shared those experiences with each other, I think it opened up a door for much more understanding and like, okay, I didn't know you were going through that. But we're all going through this at the same time. Even when I gave my TED Talk, they're like, wow, I didn't know it was like that for you. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it was rough for all of us. But yeah, I think, you know, they've always been there, especially them being older than me. They're just like always there, willing to give a helping hand. Forever appreciative of my sisters, my parents, and the whole game.
That's wonderful. I'm so happy that you have a great support system.
Yeah, likewise. Likewise.
Yeah, it's so helpful in life. Mm-hmm. And it also helps you to be a support to other people.
For sure. Yeah. It definitely taught me patience, you know. It taught me so much just about perspective, right? Some of the lessons my sisters have given me, I can help give that game to like my friends or, you know, help that to my peers or the next generation who's looking up to me, asking me questions about whatnot. I can always reference something my sister said, something my parents have told me. And, just continue to pass that knowledge.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, for sure. It's really cool stuff. Really cool stuff.
Yeah. As we talked about, you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You started a business as a men's stylist. So let's dive into that a little bit more. So
for sure.
How did you go about starting this business? And
yeah, it was an idea. I had no idea what it was going to look like. I just knew I wanted to do it. So I was like, it's just a sneaker buyer reseller for a while. I've always been in the sneaker game for a long time. Still am these days. Just keeping my ears to the streets, right? Knowing what's hot, you know, what I want. So started off that way. I knew eventually I wanted to do like something with clothing, a clothing brand, clothing line. But I was like, hey, I need to get into the industry somehow, some way. And I was like, I need to become a stylist. But when I was in undergrad, a lot of my friends would ask me, hey, I have this graduation photo shoot coming up. I have a date coming up with our friends, or, you know, whatever the case might be. They asked me to style them. So when I got to Tampa, after I graduated, I was like, let me play my hand at this. And it was hard. You know, it was hard. Came up from nothing when I first started. Is, you know, doing a lot of things for free. Just trying to test my business model. Trying to test how I wanted to work with my clients, online clients, in-person clients. Then when I finally started making money off of this, I was like, oh, wow, this is something I can do for real. Then I partnered with a store in Tampa called Ricardo's Menswear, which I'm extremely grateful for, where now I had actual home base for my clients, right? Somewhere they can shop for clothing. I was somewhere I can get commission and get them a good deal on some, you know, fashionable suits, great quality suits at that. And it just made everything better. Ricardo, he allowed me to help him with fashion shows. I got to a point where I was the one running the fashion shows for him. Like, he had to maybe run the store. Just say, hey, Chris, get these looks, let's put these together, take the rack to the fashion shows, style the models, do your thing. With that experience, I was able to do a fashion show with Tampa Club at the, you know, top floor of the Make of America building in downtown Tampa. I did two fashion shows with them. Great turnout, super fun. And again, I'm just grateful for the opportunity. But yeah, I came up, really brought the business from the mud. And that was about 5 years. 5 years, what, 2018? So when I finally decided to let me come back to school to learn everything, 2023. Yeah. So yeah, about 5 years of really from the ground, trying to build it up, building a name for myself in the Tampa region. And, you know, trusting that the Jim Morant College of Entrepreneurship would allow me to expound upon textile education, my entrepreneurship, acumen, and, you know, it's been everything plus some that I ever wanted to be here in Tallahassee, Florida. So I'm super excited to be back here. And yeah, entrepreneurship is no walk in the park for sure. Definitely not no walk in the park. But again, like I said before, right, I had a dream and I had a, you know, undeniable will and grit. And, you know, as they will say at FSU, I'm unconquered. So, yeah.
Well, and many people feel that, oh, being a stylist is glamorous, and it, you're shopping for people, and oh, that must be fun.
and
that's a thought about the whole fashion business, which it is. There's a lot of glamour and excitement, but it is a lot of work. And so what were some of the challenges as you were founding your business?
Well, I had no, first of all, on the business formation side, I had no idea about LLCs, bank accounts, EINs, all that stuff. I had to really learn that. A lot of times I had to learn it the hard way. So on the business end, that was its own set of things. On the actual styling and fashion side, well, you're dealing with a lot of different personalities. Sometimes someone promises like, hey, we'll work together next week, and next week comes and okay, wait, next week, okay, next month. There's a lot of those, right? There's a lot of the client asks for something. I put together exactly what they asked for, but then I know I asked for this, but I didn't really like that. Like, bro, I just spent, you know, 6 hours doing this. And so, there was a lot of that. Again, it was challenging. It was a lot of challenging things, but I learned through it. I learned how to be a better stylist, be a better entrepreneur through that. So I became a better people person through it. Yeah. Just really just grateful for the journey. Let's see. There's months where I wasn't making any money. There was months I wasn't seeing nobody. Like, no one was calling me and asking for styling service. But then there were months where my phone would just not stop. My phone, my email, store would not stop. There's times like that, you know? And so I take the crookies with the straights. And in doing that, it allowed me to not put my like whole identity into how the business moved, right? If it was a down season, it was just a down season. It wasn't because I'm not a great stylist. It's not because I wasn't doing enough. I was still, even when my phone was booming, I was still doing the same marketing. I was still doing the same kind of styling I was doing in the music. Nothing was going on, but that was a struggle sometimes. That was a struggle. Wow, what am I not doing right? My fit's not progressing. I'm not, you know, making the amount that I put a target for this month, whatever the case might be. Wow, this is the first time I'm really thinking back at all these things for real. Yeah, it was tough. It was tough, but it's just the good times paid for itself, you know, paid for all.
Yeah.
The fashion shows at the Tampa Club, fashion shows at Western Plaza, or whenever we got invited to do a styling for somebody, whenever like a celebrity would come by to be styled, it all paid for itself, you know, it all paid.
Oh yeah. It is a lot of work, but it's so rewarding.
Yeah, for sure.
Lord, rewarding.
For sure.
Yeah. And you were in business during the pandemic. So I'm sure that was.
Yeah. That was interesting. Times. That's when I was trying to understand the whole online, right? Mm-hmm. While people were not meeting in person, there was still a want to be presentable on the Zooms. Like how, if I have a red background, what color should I be wearing that outfit pops out? Oh yeah, you get into the color theory and color psychology and whatnot. Get into color matching and palettes. Yeah. It was interesting to say the least, but we made it through.
Yes, we made it through.
I think most of the time in the pandemic too, I was trying to refine this like branding. And I was refining again what that business model would look like. Yeah. I was just preparing for when the world did open up again. Like, hey, I'm doing all this online stuff just to practice. See what I might look like what I might sound like even when I'm talking to some other person. I think online, you don't get to see body language, right? You still get to say facial.
Right.
You don't get the body language. You don't really get that energy that you feel when you're styling someone in person. And so I think I got the selling part okay during the pandemic or online. But then when we got the person, got to feel like, oh, and a lot of times in person, like say I was styling someone, he'd bring a partner. And then how do I work both of them to try to, you know, get through the styling session, right? Because, yeah, sometimes the partner would be like, I don't like that. And I'm looking at my clients like, do you like this? Is this for you? But then you have to start talking to both of them and explain why I chose certain items, you know, the kind of moods we're going for and whatnot. And so as we did mood boards and we did inspo boards, right? Inspiration boards and whatnot. And so going through the inspirations, going through the mood boards, looking at the tangible items, putting an outfit on them. How do we feel about this? Let's compare it to your mood board. Let's, you know, change a few things around, whatever the case might be. But yeah, during the pandemic, I think it was really just it was a refinement period more so than a interruption period. Things like that.
And that was a great way to approach it, to take the time to refine your business. I love that.
For sure.
Well, and you know, now you're moving into the research world, and I know that you've been presenting some research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you able to talk about some of the research that you're working on?
Yeah, I can speak on them briefly. So Dr. Lai Nam and I presented at USASB in Birmingham, Alabama, the United States Association of Small Businesses and Entrepreneurs. They had their conference in Birmingham. And we presented two researches. One was about the 17 Sustainable Development Goals. And how they're interpreted and adopted by small businesses in Florida, with the hope that the findings from that can then be spread out to the rest of the United States, small businesses throughout the rest of the country, so that not only increase Florida score, but just the whole country score and on the SDG index. And the second one was about AI and pedagogy as it relates to fashion design, product development, and entrepreneurship. So how are we utilizing AI and fashion to enhance the students' interactions and learning, as well as professors helping them with their curriculum and whatnot?
What do you think about
AI? I think AI is super cool. I think it's a dope tool. It's AI at the end of the day is programmed by a person. So as long as it's programmed ethically, used ethically, I think it'll definitely take giant leaps for mankind. At least. Yeah.
I like it too.
Yeah. For
sure. Have you envisioned how AI could impact like the world of styling?
There's few businesses doing like AI styling already, right? Yeah. Someone like puts in their Instagram page and the AI would then look at their images, kind of determine or predict or analyze what their style might be for the next season. And then the company would send subscription boxes of items, the pieces that they believe the consumer might want, might like. And yeah, I think AI in the styling world is really interesting because modes change all the time. People's sentiment towards a certain, people change their styles all the time. So it's real interesting how an AI can adapt to all of those things, right? And I think that's the bigger picture I'm interested in. Like, how does AI interpret sentiment of different brands? And then that sentiment is then brought to like a design team or development team, marketing team to say, hey, this is what our target market, target audience is thinking and feeling about our brand, about this cheese, about our supply chain, about these products we're using, right? About whatever the case might be. But yeah, AI in the styling world is being used now, but yeah, we'll see where it goes. I think there's much opportunity for it to go further, for sure. So just, you know, all that is about in the future here.
Absolutely. And I think there was a time when people felt that, if you had a stylist, you must be a celebrity.
Right.
At that level. But now, and with AI and technology, a lot of people can have a stylist there.
Sure.
And as you said, it can help navigate changes in attitudes, beliefs.
Right.
And also your body changes too.
Yeah. That too. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, yeah, I completely agree. Yeah. Yeah, I dealt with that a lot as a stylist too, right? Clients sometimes like, oh man, I didn't, work out as much as I wanted to, or like whatever the case might be. It's like, man, you still deserve to be confident in yourself. You still deserve to step out as your best self, regardless of that, right? If that was whatever the case might be, you deserve to be proud of yourself. And if you want to make some changes or whatever, that's something you can deal with on your own, but don't let that ruin your day, your week, your month, whatever the case might be. And even the other way around. Sometimes my clients, oh man, I did great and I lost 25 pounds. Like, awesome. Make it happen. Mm-hmm. Do some mm-hmm. stuff, show it off to make you look good. Mm-hmm. Or whether they were happy or excited about either direction, I still believe that they should, anybody really, not just my clients. It's all about just being confident in yourself and being your best self, for sure.
As you think about technology and your research and your background, where do you see yourself going?
Big question. Yeah. I think I see myself becoming like a thought leader in the space. I see myself as someone that other researchers come to, other designers, marketers can reach out to when they want to collaborate, if we want to just brainstorm, because I need help brainstorming all the time, right? I just need to sometimes just get all my ideas out on the table and put these puzzle pieces together. But yeah, I see that. Of course, I see business going well, whatever business that might be, analysis, building my, I see that going well. I see myself graduating from school. Yeah, I think most importantly, though, I see myself as, just a man, fallible, right? I make mistakes and I go through things like everybody else. And even with, the success that come in the future, I just want, again, the next generation from communities like I grew up in, Pompano Beach, right? My parents worked really hard. We were in like poor and things, but it was challenging growing up there, and it was challenging, seeing what like some of my friends had to go through and whatnot. And I just wanted them to know that like I said before, I can't stress this enough. Like, really just follow a dream, because I was just a kid. And now I'm here. And it almost seemed like it happened so fast. But then when I think back, it's like, I can remember all like the paradigm shifts, all the pivots, and like all the decisions that got me here, whether good or bad, right? And so, yeah, I see myself just as a guy that's here to help and to make a change somewhere.
Well, you're already making a change.
Thanks. I'm like, thank you.
I do want to circle back on a comment that you made.
Yeah.
Because sometimes there's a perception that creativity and innovation, you know, it just happens and someone just comes up with an idea.
Right. Right.
Happens. And you mentioned collaboration.
Yeah.
And putting the ideas out there on the table and having someone to bounce ideas off of. Would you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think the biggest part of that whole thing is no one gets it done alone. Like, everyone has a team, everyone has a squad that does all the things behind the scenes that not everyone sees. And so, yeah, I think throughout this, this conversation, this discussion, I've said many people or things that have helped me get to where I am today. And so whoever that the case might be, at some point we sat down and talked about ideas. And I had to get their thoughts, again, eat the meat through the bones. Sometimes it was gibberish, but sometimes it was nuggets. And yeah, that collaboration, I'm no one without it. I'm not who I am today. It's true. I don't get the TED talk without it. Don't become a stylist without it. Hey, this is an idea I'm working on. What do you think? And hearing like, well, you did this all the time in college. You should try it out. We think you can do it. You know, whatever the case might be. True. Even that, just motivation on days I don't feel like it. On day one, I'm just like, man, I don't want to. I think I'm going to cancel this appointment today. Nah, bro. No. Go for it. Or, you know, on days where I feel like I'm on my high horse. Hey, Chris, you know, be humble. You know, let's remember where we come from. It's good to celebrate these good times, but let's remember what the vision is, right? Let's remember the goal. And so, yeah, that collaboration is extremely important. A lot of the people I've worked with, as far as like branding and marketing, shoot, as far as my first couple clients, the people I was doing things for free, they're just all my friends. Mm-hmm. Hey, you can style me. I'll put this on my platform. I'll tell you whatever the case might be. Yeah. And then as far as ideas, like mentors that's helped me along the way. Yeah. That collaboration piece, excuse me, is so important. So important.
Thank you for your thoughts on that, because I agree with you too. And we need people. I think we found that out during the pandemic, how much we need each other.
Yes, for sure. That's real. That is very real.
And have someone to bounce ideas off of and think things through and just sound.
Yeah. I think a lot of the times we have I have a good idea sometimes, and then I finally sit with somebody and it's like, I missed that because I was so excited. I missed the holes. I missed the gaps. I was so excited to get things running. It's like, okay, let's get realistic about it. And to this day, I'm a big dreamer, but I'm extremely realistic. And I know that it takes real hard work to make things happen. Yeah, that collaboration piece is real important. So I keep perspectives and respected perspectives too, on top of that, you know.
All right. Well, and you just can't do it all yourself too. Yeah, we need others.
Really, really can. Yeah, it's tough out here.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, for our listeners that are wanting to collaborate with you or follow your journey, what are some of the best ways to get in contact?
Yeah, right now the best ways are LinkedIn. I think that's the only platform I'm really active on these days. And so, yeah, LinkedIn, Chris Cyril, and you can find me.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I know the people that you're working with there at Florida State. I know you don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
I know you're busy.
It's busy, but it's fun busy. It's a fun busy.
Yeah.
It's a productive busy. I'd say that much.
Yeah, well, they're a great group again.
Yeah. Oh. Really happy to be there.
Well, the last question I asked every guest, it's the main question. How do you define innovation?
Let's see, innovation. So I think everyone has their own story, right? Everyone has their own story, their own perspective, their way they came up in life to become who they are today. Then I think that inspiration comes from, how do you take that experience and apply it to somewhere in the world? The fashion industry probably hasn't seen someone like me before, right? That has a background in data analytics or has been a stylist before and whatnot. I mean, they've seen a whole bunch of people, but never Chris Surreal. So whoever you are, put that whole essence of who you are into that thing that you love or the thing that you're passionate about. Because I promise no one's ever seen that in that space. No one's going to do it like you because of your unique perspective, your unique experiences. And I think that's where innovation comes about, when someone puts their whole person. I'm okay about talking about my family. I'm okay about talking about my friends. I'm okay with talking about the struggles that got me here, because that's all part of my story. And that's what I bring to this space. And yeah, I think that's innovation right there. The ingenuity of connecting the dots and making it make sense for you. And, you know, once you can do that, someone's going to catch on. Yeah, that early adopter's going to catch on and run with it.
Thank you for that definition.
Yeah. No worries at all. No worries at all.
Well, I truly appreciate having you here. It has just been wonderful to have you. And, it's been enlightening to explore the fusion of data analysis with fashion design, your educational journey, your vision, and your unique approach to styling. And so thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was awesome. Just so fun. Again, before I even met you, your name, I've heard it many times before I introduced myself to you. And so I'm kind of starstruck even being here right now. So it's really awesome. It's really cool. But thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. This was an awesome conversation. I look forward to, you know, the way this is, when it's put out for everyone to hear. And I love what you're doing with the Innovation Insights podcast, the whole platform. I love what you're doing with it. And so I wish you all the best with that. And again, I'm just so happy to be here and see everything you work.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, for sure.
To our listeners, I hope this conversation has sparked new ideas and inspired you to explore intersections of your passions and professions. May Chris's journey and insights motivate you to combine diverse skills like data analysis and fashion design in your own pursuits. Remember, innovation isn't just about technological advancements. It's about leveraging your distinct talents and viewpoints to create impactful and transformative change in our fields. I'm Dr. Yolanda Sanders, and I'm signing off until our next episode. Keep innovating, keep dreaming, and keep making a difference.